This podcast is a part of CGN Media, a podcast network that points to Christ. We are supported by listeners like you. To help us create more great shows, visit cgnmedia.org/support.
Welcome to CGN Voices from Ukraine, a podcast dedicated to sharing powerful stories of resilience, faith, and service in the face of great difficulty. In this podcast, we speak with members of our church network who live in Ukraine and who have been there since the full-scale invasion of their country by Russia in February of 2022. Prior to the war, there were 20 Calvary Chapel churches in Ukraine. The goal of this podcast is to give you firsthand accounts from church members who have faced unimaginable challenges. We will explore how their faith has sustained them and how God is at work and the gospel is moving forward even in the midst of adversity, along with how you can be praying for them and supporting them as part of the body of Christ. Welcome, this is Nick Cady, and in this special podcast, what we're doing is highlighting some of the stories of members of Calvary Chapel churches in Ukraine, what their experience has been like over the past year since the full invasion of their country by Russia, how the church has responded, and some of the ways that God is working through those responses of Christians in this terrible situation. Today I'm joined by Alexei Dekan. Alexei, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. Thank you, Nick.
And so, Alexei, we've known each other for a couple of years, but I'm really excited to introduce you to listeners. So would you please just introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your history with Calvary Chapel, where you're from, and those sorts of things.
So originally I moved to city of Kharkiv like about 20 years ago as a missionary in order to help planting the church there. So this is how I met my wife there. She was also a missionary. We've been serving for years there.
Kharkiv's the second largest city in Ukraine.
Yeah, it's the second largest city in Ukraine, and it's the closest city to Russian border. So that, like, you know, situation there, like political situation, it was not easy, you know, so.
And I know that the majority of people in the city of Kharkiv, their native language was Russian or is Russian.
Yeah, it is. But like, I think now it's like going like, you know, towards Ukrainian.
I see. So they're purposefully speaking Ukrainian now more and more.
Yeah. Especially like kids, you know, the teenagers and students there. Even like Kharkiv is like a city for where it's like several thousand hundreds of international students going to universities, you know, from Africa, like Sudan, like, you know, Asia. So they used to learn Russian in order to, like, you know, get education in Kharkiv. But now, like, they are switching to Ukrainian. So all the international students there are like, their priority language is Ukrainian now.
Okay, so you moved to Kharkiv a while back to serve?
Yeah, I moved from Poltava, like it's like city, a smaller city to, closer to Kharkiv. So I moved there like about 20 years ago. We've been planning church, Calvary there. I was serving there as a worship leader, like in preaching. Met lots of amazing missionaries from America. And also I was like working as a fiction writer. So I had like about like 15 published books in Ukraine. And before, like several months before the invasions happened, I published like my book that became a national bestseller, and on Comic-Con like in Kyiv, like this book became like number one bestseller novel. So, and this book was about, it's fiction book about a Russian invasion into Ukraine, like, you know, historically speaking. And I didn't thought about this book as a prophetic book, but like it's happened, like, you know, everything basically happened the same I was like writing about. And when the war started, like, you know, I gets like hundreds of reviews from people like who was hiding in the basement, and they've been releasing like reading my book or listening to the audio book, and they've been sharing that how they got encouraged, you know, because my book has a happy ending, and it's about like Ukrainian family that originally they've been really, you know, disconnected, like, you know, and fighting, you know, all over, like, you know, all the time. But when the invasions happened, they automatically, you know, they just momentarily united, like as one organism, like as one family. They've been supportive to each other. And this is what happened to Ukrainians, you know, like that's what I was observing, especially like, you know, when war started, like my family, we wake up, like all the explosions, you know, like in the middle of night. So we start packing, like, and we drove all the way, like to the other side of the country. Just was not we had no plans like what to do like next, but like we're trying to go as far as possible from the battlefield. And we've been staying in different Calvary Chapel churches, you know, seeing people, like, you know, like hearing stories, like, you know, hiding in bomb shelters. And also we've seen like lots of volunteers and kids who was like, you know, standing with food, you know, with tables of food, like, you know, like soups and drinks and like, you know, candies, and trying to give those like provisions, like supplies, like, you know, some humanitarian aid or like some warm, like, you know, like a meal to those people who was like driving in cars and standing in traffic for like hours. And like, you know, we spent like 4 or 5 days traveling, like, you know, just trying to escape to the other part of the city. And then we end up like here in Transcarpathia, where we are now. Like, it's like, it's a region that closer to European country. Like, so basically we're like near to Hungary, Slovakia. So it's kind of safe here. And it's a Calvary Chapel also here, like, you know, living water. So I became like not just a refugee, but I also, God provided me and opened lots of opportunities to do ministry here, because He was training me to do stuff like that. And it was such a blessing, like, you know, to be involved, because church here, like in the little city of Makachevo, they served to more than 12,000 people, like, you know, refugees. We opened like lots of refugee centers. And pastor here, like, he united all the local, like, you know, Protestant churches, like, to, in order to build lots of refugee centers. And he was like a financial donor to all those like local churches, you know, Baptist, Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, doesn't matter, like, you know, he just came to all those pastors and tell them, like, I will find a way to provide, like, you know, to find some, like, you know, financial support, but we need to work as one, we need to build as many like refugee centers as possible, because thousands and thousands of people will come. And that's what happened, like, you know, we got prepared, like, from day one they started building the church and then changing their churches, like, you know, like in some factory place, like buildings, turning them to rescue centers or, you know, refugee centers. And still, like, you know, even after 1 year of this war invasion, like, you know, lots of people left already. Like, some people come back to their own homes when the region was free from occupants. But many people are stayed here, like, in this region. And they've been living in our refugee centers, like, for more than a year, just because there's nothing to go for them. Like, their houses been destroyed, their family members was murdered. So, like, so we are still serving those people who are, like, have nothing, like, nowhere to go.
Wow. So yeah, you yourself as a refugee coming to Western Ukraine, and I know that your family, they've now left the country, is that right?
Yeah, we spent here, like, I have two kids, like a 10 and 16 years old, like, boys. And by the way, like, before the invasion, like, my oldest son was getting ready to get baptized in our church in Kharkov, but then he took baptism, like, you know, here in Transcarpathia, like, because he was prepared, he was ready to do this commitment. And then, like, there was no way how we can go back to our, like, hometown. Like, so we've been doing this here. But our pastor, Nate Medlin from Kharkov, he came all the way here, and he was present, like, when my son was baptized. And then, like, you know, when the school time was about to begin, like, God provided opportunity for my kids and wife, like, to move to United States, just in order for my kids to go to normal school, you know, like, because I've been working with schools a lot, like, as a writer, or schools here, like, even this region invited me to do some seminaries, like, you know, some literature classes. And I, like, kids are going to school here, but every time when there's, like, no air siren, like, you know, they need to go into the basement, like, our bomb shelters. So it's like all the situation with schools, you know, it's not normal. So for me, it was a big, like, you know, relief and blessing to know that my kids are safe. They can go, like, you know, have normal, like, you know, life and education. And it's kind of open for me opportunity to serve even more, because now I didn't have to worry about my family. Like, I can go other places. We've been, like, taking humanitarian aid to other, like, side of the country, you know, like, to the Russian border, just in order to help and support some other churches and places and refugee centers there. So
yeah, I mean, it must have been hard for you, though, to be separated from your family. But this is a situation that many people I know in this country are facing, where women and children and the elderly have been allowed to leave the country.
Yes.
But men, is it between ages 18 and... What is the older age?
It's like 66. I know like people who was like 65 and they've been called to the battlefield. So, you know, like it's hard to tell. You know?
So those of fighting age men who have less than 3 children are not allowed to leave the country.
Yeah, we have martial law, like, and it's like illegal for Christians, like, for people, for men, like, to leave. Some people find a way, like, you know, and that was kind of sad because lots of like pastors, they kind of trying to trick the system, like, and they run away, they abandoned the churches, and it was like sad part of the story, you know, because those churches was basically like, you know, sheep without the pastor, like a shepherd. But then God brought so many like amazing missionaries and Christians from like all over the globe, like especially from America, people who've been trained for this, like, you know, for people like who used to be military veterans, you know, like, and now they are like pastors and they know how to work in this crisis. They know how to deal with people with trauma, you know. So basically, we're going through huge spiritual revival here in churches in Ukraine because church became active, like really active, like never before. It's like, it's not just a place where you can come and like, you know, just listen to the Bible preacher. It's a refugee place, like where you can came as into the shelter, you know, like, and you can get all the kinds of, you know, provisions and support. And so I think that's great. Like, you know, doesn't matter, like, despite all those like horrible things that is going on in Ukraine, church is active, God is working, you know, spirit of God is moving, like in touching people's hearts. So
yeah, that's amazing. Are there any specific stories that come to mind from your service now in Western Ukraine that you'd like to share with people?
My favorite part is, like, you know, taking with our groups, like, you know, taking American groups to the other part of, like, in the other side of the country, like with humanitarian aid, and like sometimes we just drive in, like, you know, for like, you know, several days in order to get there, and there's like still churches, you know, like close to the battlefield, and there are still youth meetings going on, like there's still like, you know, Sunday schools that are going on because not all the people are able to leave, and not all the people, they want to leave their houses, you know, because it's their home, they don't want to like go somewhere else. So for me, it's always like such a huge like blessing to see how those kids are like in those regions where it's like, you know, not in dangerous regions where it's like explosions happening every day, but they are still going to church, they still like having communion, they still like, you know, gathering together in order to worship, you know, and listen to the Bible. And also they are, as community, they are serving to, you know, to all the locals there, like, and lots of people are coming to church first time ever, like, you know, just, some people just coming to get some humanitarian aid, but they also can stay, they can listen, they can, first time ever, like, they can actually hear the word of God. And that's, I think it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, and this has been a common theme that I've heard from many people during this conference, is that people's perception of the church has changed. And that's true both for Christians and their perception of what the church is has changed, but also the perception of outside, like people who don't go to church regularly or maybe don't believe, their perception of the church has changed as well. Like you said, you know, now the church is active, the church is experiencing revival, but also many people are coming in because as the church is reaching out,
yes,
people are coming to receive physical help, material help, but as they do that, they're hearing the message of the gospel and it's affecting and changing lives.
Yes, correct. So, like, now church is not just some, like, you know, kind of spiritual place, like, that some people, like, you know, thinking, maybe I will go there, like, when I'm old, you know, like, just, or, like, lighting some candles, or maybe, like, once per year for, like, some holiday. Now, like, society, they realize that church is a huge part of our community, and they are really active. Like, churches, like, are effectively working, because some people who was staying in our refugee centers, they couldn't believe that it's actually just church supporting all these like activities and support and help and provisions. They thought this government doing all those activity, because it's hard to imagine for people that so many like volunteers are doing this work for free daily, you know, like nonstop, like for a year already. Like, we have many people who've been serving, like, you know, to those people willingly and for free, you know, like it's not just, it's like not like people going to job, like, you know, or getting paid for that, like, so. And that was a huge testimony for like non-believers, just because they realized, okay, church are, they're not just preaching to us, they just like doing things what they believe, like they are actively serving to us. So that's the biggest thing that church can actually do, because, you know, even like in the early days of the church, like, you know, church was like not just preaching, they've been serving like to widows, they've been serving to like kids and the parents.
So. You mean back in like the Book of Acts?
Yeah. So basically, like, this is what happened in Ukraine. We are living through Book of Acts, like, because of the persecution. And, you know, like, I knew lots of churches and that was relocated to from one region to another region because of the war, because their entire city is destroyed. But now they can reach out the other, like, different communities, and they can actively serve them. And that's what God was doing even in the Book of Acts, you know, like when all the Christians was like spread because of persecution.
You know, I shared this last night. We're currently at a conference, and the conference is about, you know, helping to take care of those who have been providing aid throughout the country of Ukraine. And we did it in Ukraine because many people are not able to leave the country, or it's complicated. And so we wanted to do it for the people who've been serving actively during this past year, especially of the full invasion. And so I was teaching last night, and one of the things I mentioned was that, you know, if you look through the Bible, what you find is that in most of the Bible, the people of God are living in a situation where they are being attacked, where they are under occupation, where there's war, or where they're persecuted. Every one of the prophets was persecuted. I mean, like, in a way, it's somewhat encouraging to know this, that these things do not represent the absence of God. They don't represent the abandonment of God, but that God has given us hope that speaks to situations like this. But the other thing that's really important to remember, and it's really the reason we're doing this podcast, is because, like, Alexei, you know, you're part of the family of God, and you're part of the family of Calvary Chapel churches, and Calvary Chapel churches need to hear about these family matters. And so I want people to know what you're experiencing. I want people to know what you're involved in doing with your church. These are incredible things, and we see good fruit coming out of it. So how would you ask people to pray for you who listen to
this? It's hard to, you know, like, be sincere and honest, because, like, we all want to be spiritual, like, you know, like, say, like, oh, we want this war to be over, we want, like, for our country to be restored. But also there's, like, millions of people, like, and family that have been separated because of this war. And I really, like, want you to pray for all the families, like, you know, because it's hard for, like, you know, kids and women and wives to be out, like, apart from husbands. Who some husbands are serving here in military, some like as volunteers, some just stay here to work because they can't leave the country. And it's hard. It's been more than a year. Like, I know some families, like, was completely, like, destroyed because of that, because it's, like, you know, the distance is not working healthy, like, you know, for your relationships. So please pray for all those families that have been separated, like, because it didn't happen because they choose it. It didn't happen because it was, like, you know, something good for them. Like, it was, for some people, it was the only chance or choice, you know, they can could make. So please pray for all those people and families that have been separated, and please pray that eventually they be all restored and renewed. Yeah, because, and also, like, and if you're in your city, that, you know, like, some families like that came to Ukraine as a refugee, and, you know, there's like they don't have husband near to them, or, like, father, it's probably because of this war they can't leave. So basically, like, if you can, like, be supportive to them, like, just trying to encourage them, trying to, like, spend some time with them, like, because it's really hard for those people, like, you know, to be separate from their loved ones.
Yeah, that's really good. Thank you for letting us know, like, how to pray and how to think about that. And I would say, too, like, if you are with those people, I mean, I would say show them patience and things like that. They've been through a lot.
Yes.
And in addition to that, I would ask that people pray for the work that you're doing in Western Ukraine at your church. Your church is in the city of Mukachevo, and there's a Calvary Chapel church there called Living Water in Mukachevo. And you're serving there along with many others. And, like you said, it's a really big through point for a lot of people coming through the country. And so if people want to support the work that you're doing there financially, I know that we can help with that with Calvary Global Network. And so we have a giving page. If you go to calvaryglobalnetwork.com/give, there's a drop-down menu where you can choose relief fund. And also if you just email us at cgn@calvarychapel.com and you want to know more about the ministry of Mukachevo, or you want to get connected with Oleksiy personally or with his church, we would love to connect you. So thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for sharing those stories.
Thank you, sir.